Well, you guys have been doing so well lately. I leave for a week, and now you dropped off again. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter number 5. Keep your Bibles open. We want to go. You know, some people call this a revelation of St. John. God used Apostle John to write. But it's not the revelation of St. John. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. John was to reveal Jesus. He told John in chapter 1, verse 19, to write those things which thou hast seen, those things which are, and those things which are to be. In other words, there was three different things that John was to write. Some things John was an eyewitness to. He'd seen with his own eyes. And so, therefore, he was to write those. Then, of course, he was to write about the things that are. The things that are refers to the church age. That's the age in which we are living. We do believe that we're living in the latter part of the church age, and soon the church age will be fulfilled. When the church age is fulfilled, Jesus is coming back in the air. Not on the earth, in the air. We call it a rapture. It's a catching away. The Bible says in the twinkle of an eye that we'll hear a shout, the trump of God shall sound, and we'll be gone.
Amen.
Then there will be a tribulation upon this earth. There will be a left, a preaching of the kingdom of Jesus coming in. But it will not be done by the church. The church will be gone. It will be done by Israel during the tribulation time. 12,000 of 12 tribes, 144,000. That's the ones Jehovah Witnesses claims to be. They're not. They're to be. They're yet to be. And it's not going to be Americans doing it. It's going to be 12 tribes of Israel that's listed in chapter 7 of Revelation that will be doing it. I said all that to say this. Who knows how Jesus is represented in the book of Revelation more with what item he's represented more than any other item that he's called in the book of Revelation? Anybody know? The what? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's listed as that. But there's another word that he is called throughout all the book of Revelation. Four-letter word. Lamb. He is Lamb. You'll find the word Lamb referred to, as a matter of fact, right here where it talks about him being of the tribe of Judah. And by the way, the tribe of Judah points him back to the time in which Jacob pulled all of his 12 sons in. He laid his hand upon them in chapter 49 of Genesis. He blessed them. And when he came to Judah, he prophesied that there would be one that would come out of the tribe of Judah. That was Jesus. Then also we find that he is also represented as the root of David. In Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible also tells us from King David would come a root. And it refers to Jesus. But he is referred to as a lamb. And this morning we want to preach upon the Lamb of God. I want to read a couple places. Then I'm going to take you several places in the Bible. And I want you to turn with me. You know, there's a lot of things taught about the Lamb. I know Brother Junior borrowed a book of mine one time, and he loved the study of Lamb. I understand in Scotland, they have a lot of sheep. I've never been there, but I understand they have a lot of sheep. And you'll see big herds of sheep. And it's not unusual to see a sight there of a little lamb running around with an extra fleece around it. It will have be tied around its back. It will have four holes in the fleece and have its legs stuck through there. And it'll be running around and have a double fleece around it. And they say the reason they do that is this. That lamb has lost its mother. And without the mother, it would have no protection. It would have no nourishment. So therefore, what they do is, they look for another ewe lamb to take that lamb on. But a ewe lamb, a sheep, will not take another lamb from another ewe. Therefore, if that lamb would come up and try to suckle with the ewe, it would be butted away, because she would smell its scent and recognize that it would not be hers. But in that herd, and in those big herds, there are little lambs that gets killed. They die. And they will take the fleece from those that have died, and they will punch four holes in it and put it in a little orphan lamb. And it will, they will put it to the ewes, the mother of the one who lost the lamb, and she will smell the scent of her lamb. And she will take that one right on in, and she will nourish it and protect it. You know, God, we would be rejected by God. There's no way that we could draw up next to God and get anything with who we are. But he sent his lamb.
Yes, he did. Amen.
And his lamb was slain. And now we put on the covering of the lamb. It's his righteousness. And now when God looks at us, he smells the righteousness and sees the righteousness of Jesus. And he allows us to come next to him and get everything that we need, only because his lamb died. And we have the sin of his lamb upon us, the righteousness of God. But in the book of Revelation, the lamb is a big thing. Look and begin reading with me. I want to do a little reading, and I want to share with you a truth or two if you'll stay with me. Begin reading in chapter 5. Now, let me bring you up to where we're at. In chapter 2 and 3, we have a list of all the seven churches of Asia. In those seven churches are descriptive of how the church age is going to go. From the time the apostles was with the church in the first church of Ephesus until the last one of Laodicea, where they'll be cast away because they will not be saved in the church of Laodicea. They'll think that they are fine and everything's good. They have need of nothing, and yet they don't know how poor, wretched, blind they really are. That's where we've gotten to today. Many people that belongs to the church, they have no idea what church is even about. They've created churches to be social clubs. They've created them to be other things instead of really truly being what they'd be, and that is to be a place to come together, worship God, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and preach it throughout all the world, and try to take it out into the world. Now, in saying that, chapter 4 then opens up with John seeing a type of what the rapture is going to be like. We're going to be changed, caught up, the door's going to be open, the trump's going to sound, we're going to be gone. That's what happens after chapter 2 and 3, and the church is no longer mentioned. The church will not be mentioned again until chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. Chapter 4, we get to see in heaven. We get to see a little bit about what the throne of God looked like. We didn't know this until John told us, but he told us around the throne of God is a rainbow, a complete rainbow. But this rainbow is green. Did you know they say green is the most pleasant color to the eye that there is? That's why spring is so beautiful. All the greenery pop up. That's why you feel good when you walk out and you see all the green grass and all the green stuff. And it's green because green is so pleasant. Did you know the throne of God has a green rainbow around it? The Bible says it's like a color of emerald. Also, we are represented, and we see up there represented, the 24 elders. So I hear all kinds of stuff taught about 24 elders. The 24 elders are there to just represent the church and the Old Testament. Then there's beasts, four beasts. But then in chapter 5, where we're going to read from, John gets to see the church is gone. He gets to see a book, a seven-sealed book. This book is so important, and until you understand it, you'll never understand the book of Revelation. In that book is God's way of taking back the earth from Satan. Satan has, he is called the God of this age, the prince of the power of the air. He seems to have such control over things today, but he doesn't. He only has what God permits him to have. In that book is the way in which God's going to take it back. Every time a seal's broken, something's going to happen. After seven seals are open, there will be seven judgments, trumpet judgments. After those seven trumpet judgments, there will be seven vials poured upon the earth. And those who's upon the earth, it's going to truly be a great tribulation. Going to be a terrible time. The beast is going to be released, the Antichrist. The false prophet's going to be here. The mark of the beast is going to be here. They're going to be slain for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Going to be a terrible, terrible time. But we don't have to worry about it. We won't be here. We'll then be gone. Some may be here. There may be some under sound my voice that if the rapture happens sometime soon, you will be left to endure and see it if you're not saved. But we find that what happens is that God, through that, and at the finish of that, then Jesus comes back to take control. Now, the whole time he's up in heaven, he is preparing the church for a wedding. There's a marriage of the bride and his wife. And he has come back to the earth, and he's taken the earth, and he's to reign upon the earth. That's what the book of Revelation talks about. Then at the end of that 1,000-year reign, the Bible says Satan will be loosened for a little season. Then he will be taken and cast into hell, and there he'll be tormented forever and ever, day and night. Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, keeping that in mind, John sees this book. No one is able to open the book, and he begins to cry. Because he realizes what a wicked time it is. I mean, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was the only one of the apostles that's left. Every one of them had been killed and murdered and martyred. He was the only one that was not martyred. They'd been killed in many different ways, many cruel ways. Some have been slayed alive, skinned alive. Some been crucified. Some been head chopped off. Some been all kinds of things, beaten to death, stoned to death. He was the only one left. At that time, there was great persecution upon the church. They were looking to kill and to maim anybody who claimed to be saved. So it was a terrible time. And so John was wanting to see Jesus come and put things back the way it should have been upon the earth. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, revealing how Jesus is going to get this done. Begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, to study this, you'll have to go to Jeremiah and understand a little bit more about it. But in verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, none on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John says in verse 4, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, Brother Greg, here he is. Behold, in verse number 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the four elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, take this a moment and think about this. John, understanding the wickedness and the great degree of wickedness that's upon the earth at the time he wrote this, he saw and he recognized in that book was a power to take the earth back from Satan and to conquer all wickedness. Now, here he was, and the Bible says he began to weep when he found nobody under the earth, in the earth, and in heaven, worthy to open or even look on the book. And he began to cry and weep. And someone told him not to weep. And he said that he looked, and they told him that the line of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. Now picture this in your mind. I'm sure John was thinking, as he was looking around, he was thinking that he was going to see this great conqueror, warrior, general, the Messiah that was going to come and conquer the earth. And when he looked, he saw a lamb. And it was not only a lamb, but it was a lamb that had been slain. And that lamb had been slain, but now here it was alive again. But it had the marks of being slain. And then he looks, and there's that lamb. Now look, follow with me again. And notice the Bible says, in verse number 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns. Horns represents having strength. A horn was a type of strength. Seven is perfection, completion. He had the strength to get the job done. Even though it was a lamb, he had the strength. Now, we think of a lamb as being meek. Well, he came and he was meek, but he had the authority to do whatever he wants to do. And he had authority to take back the earth. Look in, and not only that, but he had seven eyes. Eyes represents understanding, wisdom, being able to see through things, be able to understand what's going on. He had perfect understanding of everything. Not only that, the Bible says, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now Isaiah chapter number 11 describes those seven spirits. But anyway, Jesus, this Lamb of God, had all these powers, and you wouldn't think that it would come in a lamb. You would think that it would come in a great strong beast of some type, or general, or some great mighty man, but it come in the form of a lamb that had been slain. Look on in verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And somebody asked me one time, they said, "Why? What are they talking about, the prayers of saints?" We've been praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We've been praying, "Oh God, please stop all this old wickedness. Oh God, put the devil in his place." Well, guess what? He's fixing to do it. And so therefore, they fall down before the Lamb, because now he's reaching out, taking the book, that he's going to take back the earth and conquer the old devil himself. Look on if you would. And the Bible says in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth." The Bible, people says, who is that? That's us. Those of us who are saved, we'll be there singing this new song. What are we going to be singing? The Lamb of God is worthy because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so it's because of the blood of the Lamb, we have been redeemed, we have been bought back, we've been purchased, and therefore we are able to get something from God we didn't deserve by his grace. We are able to do that because the Lamb was slain, and through his slaying, we've been able to approach God and be brought to God. Look in verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is a lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and the glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now turn on in your Bibles just a moment, if you would, in chapter 7. Now in chapter 7, after all this is going on, we see a few seals open by the Lamb. And then in chapter 7, God is ordaining the 144,000 go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now the tribes are mentioned in the first 7 verses of chapter 7. But then if you look in verse 9. And after this, after the sealing of the 144,000, by the way, these 144,000, the Antichrist cannot kill. They're going to be empowered to preach and nobody can kill them. They're going to have a seal of God on their forehead and nobody can touch them and harm them because God doesn't allow it. Their job is to go in the whole world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to those who have not heard it. You say, how about those who have already heard it? They're already damned. God says in 2 Thessalonians, they will believe a lie. They shall be damned. There'll be no hope. If you're sitting here, listen to me. If you're sitting here and you're not saved, and Jesus comes tonight and you're left behind, you're damned. There'll be no hope for you. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The 144,000 will come and preach the gospel to people that never heard it before, and they will be saved. There will be a lot of people saved during tribulation time. But they will be killed, as we'll find out here in just a moment. Those of you who would, in verse number 9. After the 144,000 is sealed, the Bible says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sat upon the throne, and unto what? The Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne and shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living water, or fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now you say, who are these? In chapter 5, we saw those who are taken out of the rapture. These are those that are saved during the tribulation time. They give their life. They've been slain. Remember, when you take the mark of the beast, if you don't have the mark of the beast during that time, when the beast declares it, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't go into a restaurant and eat, you can't go in a grocery store and buy groceries. You have to have the mark of the beast to do all that during the tribulation time when he makes the mark of the beast. These have hungered and thirst, been hunted down like animals, been killed, and God says, listen, because of the Lamb, they have been saved. They sing a new song. They have palms in their hand. And because of the Lamb, he's going to feed them, and they're going to hunger no more. He's going to bring them to them, and they're not going to hurt no more. God's going to wipe all tears from their eyes. They're not going to have to suffer again because of the Lamb. Isn't that good? Now, let me say this. Who is this Lamb? Stay with me real quickly, and let's turn to the Bible. Let me show you just a couple of references to the Lamb. And I want to bring it back to Revelation in just a moment. Look, if you would, in Genesis chapter 22. Turn quickly. I'm not going to last long. Just going to stay in place just a moment. In chapter 22, all of you are familiar with this verse, or this chapter. And that's where Abraham's instructed to take his only son, Isaac, up on the hill. Now remember, he's instructed to take him up there and to crucify him, to slay him. to offer him up a sacrifice. And the Bible says that he took his only son, in whom he loved, to offer him up. But then the Bible says, as he was had Isaac bound, and he drew the knife back, and he was going to bring it into his son, his only son, whom he loved. The Bible says in verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a what? A lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Because he had asked him, he said, where's the lamb? And Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. And you know, that's who Jesus was. He was provided a lamb. And therefore, we find the Lamb of God prophesied in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. It's prophesied that God himself would be the lamb. Look, if you would, in Exodus chapter 12. Here we have the Lamb of God typified. In other words, it was typified by this lamb that God told them. Now remember, in chapter 12, Israel still practices and celebrates this today. What happened was this. Israel had been in Egypt. They had been Egypt bondage. They were made slaves, and they've been slaves for hundreds of years. And they were crying to God because of the mistreatment that he would send someone to rescue them out. And so God was sent Moses. And so God sent Moses. He went before Pharaoh. And God would send several plagues to prove that he was who he said he was. And some plagues would be upon everybody, and some plagues would be strictly upon Egypt. But the very last plague was going to be this. The firstborn of every family was going to die. The only way to keep from dying was to take a lamb and to slay that lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put across the doorpost. And when God sent his death angel into the land of Egypt, whoever had blood over his doorpost, when God saw the blood, he would pass over them. That's why it's called a Passover. That's why today they still celebrate the Passover with a lamb. God took the lamb, and it wasn't just any lamb. It couldn't take some old broken, crippled lamb and offer it. But God typified Jesus. And if you look in chapter 12, notice what he says in verse 5 and 6 about that lamb. He says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from among the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. In other words, the lamb had to be killed, but it had to be a male, and it could not be without blemish. It could not have spot. It could not be deformed. It could not have anything that you could see with visible eye. It was just pointing to the Lamb of God himself. He would come, and he would. John chapter 1, on over in New Testament, John chapter 1. John, in the river Jordan, all of a sudden here comes Jesus. And when John looked up, he identified who Jesus was. Look, if you would, in verse number 29. The Bible says, behold, what? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so here I want you to understand that when John saw him, he identified, he said, that's the Lamb. That's the one that's going to come. That's him. That's who he is, the Lamb of God. And so he identified him. But the thing that Israel couldn't understand about Jesus was this. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53 real quickly. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah wrote something about the Lamb that Israel wasn't understanding. They wasn't expecting. Now here was going to be the seed of David. Here was going to be the Messiah. Here was going to be the Christ, the one that was anointed, that was going to come. And they thought he was just going to come in and usher in his kingdom and take over everything and reign. And Israel was going to reign with them. But there was one blotch they did not understand. Number one, they didn't understand that Israel was going to reject him when he came. Number two, they didn't understand he's going to establish his bride, the church. And number three, they didn't understand that he had to suffer and die. Look, if you would, in chapter 53. The Bible says this about the lamb in verse number 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Here, when they crucified Jesus, he walked up through there carrying that cross and the weight of the cross, knowing that he's going to face the wrath of God, and he opened not his mouth. Just like a sheep to the slaughter. You see, the lamb was not only identified, the lamb was crucified. And because he's crucified, the Bible says you were redeemed not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, because of him, look if you would back in Revelation real quickly. Stay with me a minute. And I've just got a couple of places to go, but I want to bring it, tie it all together here in just a moment. In the book of Revelation, if you turn there, look if you would in chapter 19. In chapter 19, I told you from the time chapter 3 leaves, the church is not mentioned again until chapter 19. Now, Jesus is coming back. In verse number 1 of chapter 19, after all the things that he does upon the earth, the great tribulation, he's coming back and he's fixing to do what they refer to as a battle of Armageddon. But he's bringing a group with him. The Bible says in chapter 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And he goes on, he talks about several things, but in verse 7, skipping on down, he says this. He said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for the marriage of what? The Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. In other words, Jesus during this time has been up in heaven. We have gone through the judgment seat of Christ. We have been purified. We are made white as snow. We have been presented Jesus, the church, as his bride. And so now we made ourselves ready. Look, if you would, in chapter 21, in verse number 9. See how he sanctified through there. The Bible says in verse number 9 and chapter 21, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit in a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. In other words, he said, listen. He said, I want to show you the bride. I want to show you what Jesus, this Lamb, has done. When he got through taking a bunch of sinners, saved them by the grace of God. Now he's brought them up to heaven. He's gave them a glorified body. Now they've been made white as snow. Now they'll never sin again. They'll never be in the presence of sin. Now they've gone to a place. They will never die. They will never suffer. Chapter 21, chapter 22 tells us all this. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. They'll live in this place called heaven. And when he looked, he showed them a city descending down. It had streets of gold, gates of pearl, and had jewels all along the walls. This is heaven, and that's what he's prepared for us. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, is sanctified through that. Look back, if you would, in chapter 5 real quickly. I'm going to close right there. But look where we started in chapter 5. In chapter 5, notice, if you would, as we read, how that the Lamb was magnified in verse number 12. All in heaven said, worthy is a Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and glory and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In other words, Jesus is magnified. The Bible says that Jesus has been given a name above all names. Now get this a minute, and you got to see this, please. Without you understanding the Lamb of God, you're destined to hell. Jesus is a Lamb. He made a way that we can go to heaven. But it's only through believing in him. The Bible says that he has been given a name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Amen. Things above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. There's not one single living being, not one creature, that's not going to give Jesus glory. He's the Lamb. He's going to be magnified. And last but not least there in chapter 5, look with me one more time, and notice if you would in verse number 6. The Bible says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having the seven horns, seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God, and sent forth into all the earth. He is glorified. Listen to me very carefully. Please get this. When you get to heaven, I know some of us think as we think on earth. When I get to heaven, I can't wait to see Mama and Daddy. Mama and Daddy will have no bearing on your mind. They're only going to be one. In heaven, everybody's attention is going to go one place. We get to heaven. Somebody said, oh, I know we have songs about glad reunion, and I know that's all good, but we're all going to be part of the church that are saved. When we get there, we've got one. In heaven, everybody's going to look and see the Lamb. It's not only a Lamb, but it's this Lamb that had been slain. Every song sung, there's not going to be one song about, oh, I walked the old hard hill up, get here in glory. That's going to be gone. Going to be a new song sung about the Lamb. All praise, all honor, all glory go to the Lamb. Not going to be anybody up there saying, oh, look at old so-and-so, Uncle so-and-so. We're going to exalt him, and boy, are you going to be lifted up? No, going to be one lifted up. Somebody said, well, the Bible said we're going to receive crowns. And the Bible said we're going to take our crowns, just like the 24 elders, and cast them right at his feet. You know why we put them at his feet? Because only he is worthy. If it wasn't for the Lamb, we wouldn't be up there. You see, the Lamb, it's what God did for us. He took that slain, his son, crucified, slain, and he wrapped us around with his righteousness. And now we're able to access God.
Amen.
And we're able to be a child of God. And we're able to be called a child of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And we can now cry, Abba, Father, because we now wear the fleece of the slain Lamb. And through Jesus, one of these days, folks, somebody say, oh, preacher, you don't know how bad I've got it. I know this. This is the only hell you'll ever see if you're saved. And thinking about that, God's been pretty good. Would you not agree? And when you understand what we have laying ahead of us because of the Lamb, never to knowing a problem again, what a glorious future we have ahead of us. Only because of the Lamb. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let me ask you this. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you ever been to the cross of Calvary and looked upon him as the Son of God lifted up, dying for our sins, the Lamb of God? Maybe this morning the Spirit of God is drawing you to come to be saved. You've never have believed and trusted on him. If Jesus was come tonight, you'd be left behind. Knowing that you need to be saved, God's telling you to come. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, I want to come. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I trust in him as my Lamb. And he's not only the Lamb, he is my Lamb. And now I'm trusting in him to save my soul. Would you step out this morning and come? How about it as we sing, Brother Porter?
There is a name above.